Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman
Podcast.
Superman was created by Jerome Siegel and Joe Shuster.
Hi, I'm Stephen Biscotti, and you're listening to the Saturday Morning Superman Show. Today is a very special one-off episode. So if you're wondering where Justin is, he's not present for the recording of this episode, but I have somebody else that's just as exciting and just as fun. I have none other than the co-founder of Universal Monsters Universe himself and my creative partner, Joe Grudensky.
Hi, everyone. How's it going today?
Joe, I'm really glad we're able to do this. It's very exciting to have you on. And I got to say, we've been discussing doing an episode of the Saturday Morning Superman Show for a little bit. And it's really cool to actually have you here, especially considering that for the longest time we were thinking about doing a Universal Monsters Universe podcast. So I'm glad that you're here.
Thank you. It's glad to be here. Yeah, I mean, I remember that. You know, yeah, you never know what this could start, my friend.
Yeah, it's interesting to, again, give everybody just a little bit of context, considering the Saturday Morning Superman Show and Universal Monsters Universe. As I've made mention a few times on the show, that when I'm not talking about Superman, the animated series with Justin, a great co-host, someone that you're very familiar with, if you've been listening to the show, I also co-run Universal Monsters Universe with Joe and Austin Hill and Lindley Key. And we have an Instagram at Universal Monsters Universe. We're on Facebook, Universal Monsters Universe, Twitter. We have a site, www.universalmonstersuniverse.com. And Joe and I both created this in 2016, early 2016. We've been doing it now for almost 4 years. As we're recording this right now, we're a few months away from the fourth year Monsterversary, if you will. And in the early days of when we were doing UMU, there was a lot of talk about doing a podcast, and podcasts were starting to become very big. And a lot of people were talking about it and asking us, like, oh, you guys got to do a podcast. We got, you know, like, when are you going to put that out? And it was something that we always really wanted to do. And we just never really had the opportunity to. I think, you know, we found people that wanted to do it with us, but then nobody really had the motivation to actually get together. And with the Saturday Morning Superman Show, when the idea first came to me, when I was talking to my friend Jason at Royal, it was interesting because I thought of the realistic possibility of doing a show, and how, while I didn't have the opportunity to necessarily do one for Universal Monsters Universe with Joe and a group of people, I was able to do one here. But I'm glad that Joe's on, and if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, I think everybody would be really excited to hear from you.
Well, my name is Joe. You know, again, I'm the co-founder of Universal Monsters Universe. You know, I'm very big DC fan. You know, I'm more toward Batman. I know. But, you know, Superman's just as cool. You know, I'm maybe with the comic books. You know, like my friend Steve here, you know, he's probably the biggest Superman fan I've known, met, you know, in general, which is great. You know, Superman's a great hero to admire. And, you know, he's, especially like when you consider his context, you know, these comics were made in the 30s, the midst of the Depression. He was the hope. Like, he was the hope of America. And his suit has red and blue in it. You know what I mean? Like, so it's definitely like, it's he's the ideal of what America wanted to be again back then. How, you know, truth, justice, the American way, that was the thing. So it's definitely a great superhero to admire, with a great history and a great context about him.
Yeah, I really couldn't agree more with everything that you said. And it's the complete truth. You know, you had Superman, who was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster in 1938. and you look at like where we were at, you know, as a country, you know, and what the country was going through, and where America found itself in the late 30s, early 40s, and you had a superhero who was, you know, a champion of the oppressed, and he stood for truth, justice, and the American way, and you know, it's interesting because in a lot of ways, you know, I've often been thinking this, but you know, Superman and Batman and you and I, we were both talking about the Joker movie, mm-hmm. That we just saw, and how all these characters are really very mythological. And, you know, you had like Hercules and like Hades and Zeus and Thor and, you know, all of these great mythological figures. But, you know, you really have to think about it now. And like the comic books that we all have are really modern day mythology, from Batman to Superman to Spider-Man to all of these characters. And with the adventures that we've read about and stuff, it really is, you know, modern mythology. It's the characters that we now have. And I think, you know, a lot has to be said for it in regards to the tradition of storytelling that's transcended the page and has found its way on screen through animation and through live action. It's amazing because we're at a point now where we're at as a society. The modern mythology that we have in a lot of ways and a lot of respect has transcended, you know, traditional, you know, Greek, you know, mythology and Roman mythology in a lot of ways with these characters.
Oh, absolutely. And also the fact that how these characters have adapted to these changing times, you know, it would be easier just to keep Superman in the 30s and leave it at that. But, you know, they've adapted them. Like, even somebody like Batman, where a city like Gotham, you don't know what time frame it is because, you know, somebody could be driving a 1940s Buick, but holding an iPhone. Like, it's just how, and it works. Like, nobody questions it. It just works because we've been with these characters for so long. We don't want to change. Like, this is, we like it how it is. And again, too, they adapted to the modern world, but they still offer that escape.
Yeah, completely. And, you know, it's a lot of fun because we all grew up with comic books and we all grew up, you know, with like the 90s cartoons, oh, like X-Men and Batman and Superman,
yeah,
and Spider-Man. And, you know, you see how these characters, you know, like someone like Superman and Lex Luthor and Lois Lane, you know, they could have been around for a little bit and then just kind of faded into obscurity. And, you know, it was a while ago, again, something like Joe and I, we've been friends for quite a while now. And when we first started working together, we were actually writing for whatyoureading.com. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun doing that. And that's really where I think creatively we began working together, where we were really, you know, writing about stuff that we liked, and we were going to Toy Fair together, mm-hmm. and New York Comic Con together and different events. And What You're Reading really was the foundation of I'd say our creative journey together, mm-hmm. for both of us individually and also for us together. And it was at a particular juncture at What You're Reading where, for me, I was reviewing comic books by the Archie Comics imprint Dark Circle, and they were reviving a lot of pulp heroes that were forgotten, like the Shield, the Black Hood, the Fox, I believe. I know I'm drawing a blank on some of them right now. It's been a while, but there are a lot of these characters like the Shield that, you know, you really wouldn't know about unless like you were in a comic book store and maybe you'd be flipping through like a long box and you'd pull out like a dollar comic book and it'd be, mm-hmm. like, oh, I've never heard of this superhero. And, you know, I guess like it's a reality. I guess maybe sad as it is, but it's that reality that there are so many wonderfully talented and creative people working that just they create things and some last and are remembered and others are forgotten just to time. But Superman was one of those characters that's been championed over generations, and he's been around, you know, before Joe and I were born, and he's going to be around well after we're gone, and that speaks, I think, to the power of mythology and these characters. And like even like what you said, like, you know, you look at something like Gotham, where you know, it's in this timeless place where it seems like it's one foot in like the 1940s, but one foot in modern day. And it's just that generational appeal where, you know, you have something like Bruce Timm's series where it's set in this like almost yesteryear, but future. And it just preserves the integrity of it. You could discover it in the 90s when it first aired and love it. And you could also be watching it in 2019, 2020, and enjoy it just as much. But what I want to ask you about is, you know, what we never really spoke about is like mythology. And I know you're very much into history and, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So not only would I want to hear your thoughts and your passions about history, but yeah, we never really spoke about like mythological figures like Hercules or like, you know, like the gods and the demigods and stuff like that. And if anything, I think any conversation about Superman or really Batman, it has to go back to these like archetypes that like inspired, you know, everything that we really take for granted now. So, I mean, Joe, take it away. I want to hear about that.
Oh, that's actually a very good point too. I mean, with the mythology part, Superman, he's definitely Herculean in the sense of his abilities, but also he could be Achillean as well in the sense, because
wow, that's a great, I mean, wow, I love hearing that,
because with, you know, Achilles is the same thing, like he was supposed to be the next Hercules, but yet when they dipped him in, you know, the water to be invincible, they held him by his heel, so that part never got, you know, like drenched or wet, whatever you, so, you know, hence the term the Achilles heel. Superman, it's kryptonite. So in that sense, he's very Achillean in that sense. And, you know, you can definitely say, like, his Helen of Troy is Lois Lane. Like, he's, like, he, you know, literally died to save her, to save Metropolis. So he's very Achillean in a way. Like, Hercules, people would say Hercules first because of his strength. But Hercules in the mythology does have a dark side, to the point that he ultimately gets too full of himself with his strength, and, you know, he eventually just goes mad at the fact that he has, you know, he thinks himself as invincible. Superman never does that. Superman's very, like, grounded, very humble. I mean, he's a newspaper reporter, you know, he's, you know, he could have been, you know, he could have been like a weightlifter, an athlete, like he could have used his abilities to favor himself, but he didn't. He took the most unathletic, unstrenuous work. Like, you know, yeah. Nothing against journalists or anything, but like, you know, but it's just, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I want to add into it. I've routinely, as of late, I've been speaking a lot about with Justin, as we've been recording season 2 of the Saturday Morning Superman show. We've been looking at the Max Fleischer Superman series of the 1941-1942 theatrical shorts. And I brought up the wonderful Tom DeHaven book called It's Superman. And it's honestly, it's really one of my favorite novels of all time. And in it, it's a wonderful deconstruction of the Superman mythology, but it's very much rooted in the origins of Superman, especially in the comic books. And it really honors and preserves and is a complete love letter to the entire history of Superman and how they use Clark and Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane and Lex. But it's interesting because in the book, when you meet Clark Kent and you follow him as he's growing up from Smallville to Metropolis, the whole entire novel set in Depression era America, and Superman, he actually debuts to the world as a strong man in the circus. He's like a circus level strong man, and he becomes this like sensationalistic, you know, like strong man power lifter, if you will, before he eventually, you know, finds his way to the Daily Planet. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, like, you know, like with him working for the Daily Planet. But I just kind of wanted to interject that footnote because it's a book that I love. And if you're a Superman fan, I'm sure you've already read it. But if you haven't, again, it's called It's Superman by Tom DeHaven. And you could probably find it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, eBay, Strand Bookstore if you're in New York City. I remember they had a copy of it. And it's definitely highly worth reading and checking out.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to add that to the Amazon list. But no, that's why I never actually knew that he was a strongman. That's pretty cool. Like,
yeah, it's only an addition to the Superman mythology that Tom DeHaven added in his book. But it's really cool because it's set in Depression-era America and Metropolis is New York City. So you're getting a lot of history of New York City in the book, you know, and you're getting a cool Superman story. So it's something that, like, for you, I think you would really like it.
That's awesome. That's like, I love how, again, we went back to the point before how Superman is, these comic books are always evolving with the time. Because, again, they could have just went the easy route and just left everything as Metropolis as just a fictional city. I mean, we look at the Superman movies, how, you know, there even like any like Batman, Superman movie, New York, Chicago, LA, there's always a big city that's being used as, you know, a template for Metropolis, for Gotham, and which is great because you get to see, especially in like the Jerry Bruckheimer Batman movies, like it's without a doubt New York City. They don't hide the fact that yeah. They're in New York. Like, you see the bridges, you see the Statue of Liberty, and like even in
in Batman Forever, when Two-Face has the helicopter and it goes in, it's the Statue of Liberty that the helicopter crashes right into. So there's no denying that, like, oh yeah, that's, you know, it's New York. It's got to be New York.
Like, whereas they could have went, like, even the modern ones, they could have just went like soundstage or CGI and just, you know, just made their own city off a computer. But what they did was they actually took real life American cities and blended them into it, like with Man of Steel, we saw some of the locations. Like, you saw Chicago,
yeah,
you know, and then was it Detroit? Mm-hmm. They used the template of Detroit,
and yeah, Man of Steel was filmed in Chicago, which we've gone to,
mm-hmm.
And and Batman versus Superman was a blend of Chicago and Detroit, Detroit substituting for Gotham City, and Chicago once again filling in for Metropolis. And then in the mid 90s, when you had the Tim Burton Superman Lives film that was being planned, they were actually looking at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the PPG Pittsburgh was complex,
Pittsburgh was going to be Metropolis, and the PPG. We went there.
Yeah. And they're very Lexian, I must say, those buildings, like the dark, like brooding glass buildings.
So Joe, I'll let you tell everybody about our trip to Pittsburgh, because that's definitely a story worth preserving and telling the audiences. But as you did mention that's very like Lexian and it's very much for anybody that's ever been to Pittsburgh, and if you've been to the PPG Center, it's very unique and it's very different. And I can't say we even have anything like that in New York City. I don't really think there's anything that exists like that. And I think that speaks to the wonderful architecture of Pittsburgh, that it definitely has something unique that makes it its own place. But it's almost like you're in like this kind of like industrial military fortress, if you will, in it. And it just, it's a very interesting building. I wish we had the ability when we went to go inside, because there have been concept art for the film, and there have been storyboards for Superman Lives that have been released, and the storyboards that, if you look at them, that they had created for LexCorp, it's the PPG building completely, lobby and design, and it's really cool to think that, like, oh wow, like this could have easily been one of the locations for Superman on film, but. Everybody knows that film didn't happen, but we have that wonderful documentary that exists for it. And we went to Pittsburgh You went for a particular reason. I went with you for a particular reason. And yeah, let's let everybody hear about this.
Okay, so, you know, I foray into wrestling a little bit. I was much bigger with it when it was like the Attitude Era, even back to like Hulk Hogan. Then after I kind of got out of it, got back into it when, you know, I'm sure you all know Paige. I just made a movie about her, fighting with my family. She was at a Wizard World Comic Con in Pittsburgh. So I figured, why not? You know, and Steve, you know, we had, you know, I didn't start for What You're Reading yet, but he did. So he was already on it. And, you know, I said, you want to...
Was it before you started?
Or maybe...
Like you might have already been doing it.
Or maybe I just started, because I started with Gotham when I was... I started when...
This was in... What year was this?
This was 2000...
16 or 15? No. 14?
When was it?
Was it 2014 that we did this?
Was it or 2015? It was a while back.
Oh my gosh.
But I know it was...
We have to go back on our Instagram and find it. So as you're talking, I'm going to go back on Instagram and I'm going to scroll.
So, you know, we decided, you know what? Let's do Pittsburgh. So, of course, you know, like, I underestimated the distance, figuring, oh, Pittsburgh, why do we need a plane? So we took an 8-hour bus trip across Pennsylvania. It was scenic, I guess you could say. So we get there. You know, we get to the Comic-Con.
We found Superman Returns in the pit stop. You remember I had the DVD on my laptop?
And
we were at a pit stop, and there was like a Superman Returns DVD that was like $5 or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And I thought briefly about like, oh, well, like I could buy this and we could watch it. We didn't, but yeah, Superman Returns made an appearance on the trip.
See, that was a sign right there. So, you know, we get there, we're hanging out, you know, we go to the Comic-Con thing, and who do we see? Lou Ferrigno, as you all know, is the Hulk. So that was really cool. And we saw Adam Baldwin.
We did, yeah.
Yeah. We saw Captain Connor from Chuck, or Animal Mother from Full Metal Jacket. So he was in a couple of movies. You know, and, you know, it was a fun trip. Of course, that time the cab driver got us lost in, like, you know, a part of town we didn't know. Luckily, it was in walking distance to our hotel, so we braved that. Yeah, we went to the Pirates baseball game, which was cool. We met the mayor of Pittsburgh. I know Bill Peduto, I don't know if he's still the mayor or not, but it was pretty cool. In fact, the day before, he was saying that, you know, they put up the Batman signal during the Pirates game on one of the buildings. Because, in fact, Pittsburgh, Dark Knight, the Dark Knight Returns. No, right? Was it, which one was it? Bane.
Rises, yeah.
The Dark Knight Rises, when Bane makes his speech, when he has the military tumbler, it was in Pittsburgh. It was in one of the buildings in Pittsburgh. So it was pretty cool. So yeah, Steve got to talk to Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, it was a fun trip because we all got to do the things that you know, we wanted to see, and one of them being was that we got to go to the PPG Center, and I found it. We made it to the PPG Center in September 11th, 2015.
Yeah.
It was 11th, and we were there. I think we left on the 12th. We were there
Friday, Saturday. Yeah. Which was pretty, and the PPG Center, it's like a complex, it's actually a courtyard, like it was very, you know, I guess you could say fortress type, like the courtyard, so that was cool, and it happened to be a cloudy day too, so it really set the mood. You see like this black tinted window buildings with like Batman ears on the roof, and it's cloudy, overcast. Perfect villain fortress. Like you couldn't.
Yeah. It's a really wonderful building to be at. And when we put this episode up, if you go on the Saturday Morning Superman Show Instagram account or Twitter, wherever you're following us, I'll have a picture up of the PPG Center that I'll repost from when we went. But yeah, I mean, like Pittsburgh was cool because. You know, I'd never been there before, and while there were hiccups along the road getting there, it's one of those things that I look fondly back on where it was just like, it was an adventure, and it was great, because yeah, I got to interview Lou Ferrigno, and that interview's over at whatyoureading.com, and you got to meet Paige, and we saw Adam Baldwin, Major Casey, from Chuck, And when we went to the ball game,
he was on the screen.
He was on the screen, and we we tried looking for him. You remember?
Yeah, but I think he was at the bottom level, so we never got to him.
Yeah, we went through the whole stadium, and we were trying to see if we could find him. And I mean, there was no dice. We could not find him. But yeah, that was such a unique trip because like we of course. Like, we would go, and we met Mayor Peduto, and, yeah, like, I mean, like, we got to meet the mayor, and we got a photo with him,
yeah.
and he recommended for us to go to the roof.
Yeah, you can see the city.
Go to the roof and jump off the clown. No, he didn't say that, but it's like, leave it to us that we go to a place we've never been, and the person we, like, meet is the mayor. And
yeah,
we met the mayor of Pittsburgh.
Like, that's how you know you're not in New York City anymore.
I know, right? Like, I've never ever been in any kind of event or environment where like I've like met de Blasio. I don't even think like you could meet him, you know.
Probably not. But at the same time it has like an intimacy to it. Like it's a big city, but it's not this clamoring like New York, LA, like it's not a metropolis type, like, you know, it's a very like homely city. Like, we walked the streets, you know, it was quiet. You know,
I think at the time they were talking about that. You know, it's interesting because like it was 2015, so 4 years ago, right?
Yeah,
it was 4 years ago. Last month, and again, I do want to make reference to the fact that the Saturday Morning Superman show was recorded ahead of time. So by the time that you're listening to this, if you're like, last month, like, I mean, like, what are they talking about? We're actually recording this on Friday, October 11th in 2019. So by the time you hear this, just keep note of that. And it will make sense. But yeah, I mean, like, we went and like Uber was starting to become a big thing then.
Yeah.
And I remember when we got there, they were recommending like, oh no, like Uber's like a big thing here, like that's what they really do. And we were also told that like it's very much like a working city where like you go, you work, you support your family, and then you go home at the end of the day, and that's really just like what you do. So I mean, like, the dichotomy between that and like New York City, I mean, there's a lot of differences that you really have to understand, because like New York City doesn't really ever stop. And you know, I mean, you could go into the city now, or you know, like you could go into the city at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and like it's still on. Whereas like Pittsburgh, it really, in a lot of ways, like certain aspects of Chicago, it really starts to shut down by a certain time, and then people just, they go back home. And I guess, like, as I've gotten older, I really, like, appreciate the fact that, like, you go, you work, you go home, and, you know, you just, you know, that's what you do. And the homeliness, I really feel like that's something, you know, like, especially for both of us that love cities so much, and, you know, of course, something like Metropolis and Gotham City factoring so much into, you know, the things we enjoy and stuff like that. It can be said for how cities are selected to represent different things in comic books and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And again, it just makes it that much more like relatable to those kinds, especially like, and that's what makes Superman great too. He's, you know, born on another planet, comes to Earth. So he, you know, he's an outsider, a foreigner who makes it in small town America. So he definitely appeals to like the Midwestern crowd, and then he moves to Metropolis. So he goes across all facets of life. Like, he's not just like, I love Batman, but Bruce Wayne, born and raised in Gotham, inherits his father's empire. You know, he has all this money to build technology. Like, he's born into it. Like, he has nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
So he might not resonate as much to everyone as Superman does. And like we were saying too before, Superman, he takes, you know, just, you know, a regular entry level job. Like, he's, you know, he doesn't take anything for granted. Like, he's a working man. Even though he could have easily, again, used his superpowers as like a show for himself, he doesn't. He hides them. which that makes him so appealing to so many people that he humbled himself knowing that what he could do.
Yeah, it's a quality of Superman that I really feel a lot of times is forgotten, because, you know, you look at a character like Superman, I think, you know, he's such a fascinating character because it's like a Frankenstein and it's like a Dracula, where, you know, you're almost born with an understanding of who they are. And it's like, you can't really ever remember a time where, like, Superman or Universal Monster wasn't in your life, because, like, kids grow up and they know monsters, and they might not have seen like Bela Lugosi as Dracula, but like you could say to a kid, oh, you know, draw a picture of Dracula or draw me a picture of Frankenstein. And they're going to draw the Jack Pierce Boris Karloff Frankenstein. And a lot has to be said for how ingrained in our minds and our imaginations these characters are. And you could go, I think, around the world, and again, you could say, draw me a picture of Frankenstein, and somebody might not have necessarily have seen the movie, but Jack Pierce's makeup and Karloff's performance, they're so iconic that they've been, you know, imprinted on all of us. And you look at someone like Superman, and, you know, you get people that, like, oh yeah, he could, you know, he's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You know, he's faster than a locomotive, you know, more powerful than a locomotive, you know, faster than a speeding bullet. You know, they know that. They know that he's
Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, they get all of that, and they know about Kryptonite, and they know about Krypton, and they might not be able to say, oh, well, like, Brainiac's from the planet Kolu, or oh, you know, General Zod. They might not know stuff like that, but you say, like, oh, do you know who Superman is? And they're like, of course, in the same situation, where it's like, draw a picture of Superman, and they're going to draw the S. You know, it's such a globally recognizable icon. And in that way, I feel like, you know, if you really look past, you know, the big heroics of Superman, and the same like with like Batman, a lot has to be said for the character of Superman. I feel like people forget a lot of times just how complex a character he is. Because they think, oh, you know, he's just too powerful and like he's not relatable. And it's like, no, like if you really start to look at Superman, you look at a lot of like the way Superman's been written in some of the better comic books, like Superman Birthright by Mark Waid, or It's Superman by Tom DeHaven, or, you know, and like the nuances of Christopher Reeve's performance, or, you know, even what Zack Snyder and Henry Cavill did with the character, there's a lot to be said of how human he is, despite him being alien, and how much he does struggle, but how much he does humble himself. And there's a lot that could be found in Superman that's very inspiring and very uplifting and almost like a challenge to all of us to be as good as we can be. And despite, you know, our hardships or our struggles, that we're called to be stronger than that for not only ourselves, but, you know, for everyone around us. And, you know, as we've been doing the Saturday Morning Superman show, it's something that I really feel like needs to be consistently addressed, because I think if more people really start to catch on to that, you know, about Superman, or even like a character like Supergirl, they're really cool, you know, cool characters, and they're so much fun to really think about and talk about.
No, it's true. And, you know, how many times, like, you know, I know, it, you know, it's kind of a grim topic, but like these like St. Jude commercials, or like these poor children that are ill, what do you see them doing? They tuck a blanket in their shirt and they're putting their arms out. Like, and, you know, right, even if they don't know who, like, they've never seen Superman in their life, they know he wears a cape and he flies.
Yeah.
And he's strong. He's a superhero. Like, they want to be, like, he's a, that strength isn't just physical strength. It's a, you know, emotional strength. It's just it's a strength that transcends, you know, having a six pack and lifting a building.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a way to put it, for sure.
But there's like, but he evokes a strength beyond like physical.
A six pack and lifting a building.
I mean, that's, you know, pretty much, you know, what, and also too, like you're saying with the S, like you say, draw the Superman S, you know, it's evolved over many years, but you're going to get some iteration of the some little kid's going to draw a diamond shape with an S in it.
And yeah, it's like, be it like the Henry Cavill one or, you know, like the Fleischer one or like even like the classic one, like that diamond, you know, with the S inside. I mean, like it's, you know, we learn in Man of Steel that it stands for hope, and it's just such a powerful, iconic a symbol that's so recognizable. And I think, you know, even like for children, you know, and even for adults, you know, you look at that image and there's something so powerful about it, and it's so exciting to see. And you know, it's a very interesting thing because I have like a few like sweatshirts and shirts with Superman's logo on them, but and I don't really wear them all that much, but like whenever I do, there's something to be said about like wearing that Superman symbol that makes you like stand straighter and just like you just want to be better, you know, than who you already are. You just want to be as good as you can be, and I don't really think you get that with much else in comic books. I think there's a lot of great superheroes out there, but I think there's a lot to be said for the power of what Superman stands for.
Of course, even like the TV show theme or the Christopher Reeve theme, like, you know, you're saying it, you stand straight, you put your hands on your hips. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, you're looking like you're waiting for the girl you have a crush on to scream help to run and save her. Like, it's just, it evokes that strength, that power.
Yeah, it's such a fun character. I you know, for one, you know, with like Superman the animated series, I've spoken so much about how the Bruce Timm animated series is my favorite version of Superman, and I think the strength of what Bruce Timm and company have done, you know, with the superheroes, with the DC Comics characters, are that they really stripped them back to their most simplistic form, and then told really good stories about them. And you look at Batman, the animated series, and Batman Beyond, and they're just very well-told stories with these timeless characters. And you know, I think for anybody that loves animation, Batman the animated series is at the top. And it, you know, it's something that started in 1992, and we're still, you know, talking about it to this day. And with like Superman the animated series being the extension of Batman the animated series, especially when you get to like a 3-part episode like World's Finest, where you finally have the crossover, it's a very special thing. And I think with like Superman, you know, like I'm looking at like my shelf right now with the Diamond Select statues, and you know, you have like Darkseid and Supergirl and Brainiac and Lex and Clark and Superman. You have these timeless shapes and timeless designs that are very colorful and very fun to like to watch. And it's just Superman, you know, being Superman. I think animation really is one of the strongest areas for the character, because you don't have to worry really about like a location or sets or anything. Like, you know, you're not constrained by what you would be constrained by today, and you could really do anything. And I mean, you know, like movies now, like you could go anywhere and do anything, but I think there's a lot to be said for animation. And now you've watched Batman the animated series, but you haven't fully seen Superman?
No, yeah, I actually recently bought off eBay, somebody was selling the complete Superman animated series along with the complete Justice League Unlimited run, which is another great cartoon. Again, that really brought it all together. And I have all the volumes of Batman the animated series. I actually pre-ordered Batman Beyond. If you go to Amazon, they're actually releasing a special edition set, complete series, remastered movie Batman and Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. And it comes with a Funko Pop and some like collector cards. Really great set. It's like upwards of like 89 to like 100 something, but it's worth it. Like, it's so worth it. And these cartoons, like, I remember, you know, one of my jobs I had, we had a TV and, you know, in the cafeteria, and I'd work a Saturday here and there, and they still had like the Justice League cartoons on once in a while. Like, here's me 30 some odd years old in a suit and tie, watching Justice League, like someone comes in, where's the news? I'm like, no, no, no. I want to watch. You know, of course they're looking at me like, okay. But again, it's just that timelessness of it. Like, I'm sure if Batman the Animated Series was on at some point, I'd probably sit down and watch it, even though I've seen it already and I have it. It's just, you know, these types of classic cartoons. I mean, do we even have cartoons anymore? Like, no. Like Saturday morning cartoons? Like,
you know, it's this is something that, like, Joe and I, we talk about so much. And, like, every couple months, we kind of circle back to the same topic where, you know, it's interesting. It's funny because the thing is, like you're a kid and you look at, like, adults and, like, I don't really get adults. And, like, it's such a, like, you feel like you could really believe in the concept of immortality because, like, what's a 30-year-old to a 12-year-old? It's like, you're never going to get to be 30 because, like, it's so far off. But then at some point you're 30 and you're like, wait a second, like, I kind of got old. And but like Joe and I, like, we're in our 30s and we, you know, really belong to a generation that was the last to have like Saturday morning cartoons and like action and, like, figures, you know,
like, and Batman cereal, like,
yeah, like, you know, that doesn't even, like, the, like, they, like, kids don't have that now.
No, I mean, like, we were just saying before how, like, back in the 90s, like, we had those, like, action adventure movies. We had the Batman Jerry Bruckheimer movie. Yeah. I mean, I had the Batmobile, I had the Penguin's Lair, I had the board game, the costume. It said Batman on it. I had it. Today, like, you know, I mean, there was Justice League figures here and there. Obviously, you know, there's stuff, you have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we were saying it wasn't that mass media blitz. Mm-mm. Like the Saturday morning cartoons or like Superman jumping out of the screen, like playing with the toys with the kid. Like,
yeah, you know, with like the superheroes then, like especially early to mid 90s, where you had X-Men animated series, Spider-Man animated series, Batman, Superman, you know, you could watch, you know, an episode that would air on Saturday morning. And then as soon as it was over, like you and your parents could go over to like KB's or Toys R Us or the mall, and you could go into a toy store. And you would see a wall of all of these figures and you'd be going through and like you'd have like 20 villains and like 30 versions of like the superhero and like different suits that he never wore. And it was just like there was that expectation where like you would just go and like the toys would be out and like, you know, with McDonald's or Burger King with like tie-ins, like they were, it was a really fun and special time. I want to make mention that Superman the Animated Series had a really cool tie-in and toy line with Burger King. And it was a few months ago, before the show even aired, we had started the Instagram for the Saturday Morning Superman show first. And we were, you know, building away at and posting. And one of the early followers that found us, he reached out to me and he said, Steve, like, do you have like the Burger King toys or like, do you have any of that stuff? And I said to him like something like along the lines of like, yeah, like, well, I have one of them, but like, I never got the whole set. And he was like, send me your address. I want to send you my whole set of them. And
what?
Yeah, he sent me and get this. So he sends it out and he's like, just let me know your address and I'll let you know how much it's going to cost to ship and you pay for shipping. And like, we'll leave it at that. Cause I was like, look, like, can I like pay you or something? Cause like, I know on eBay people have them and like I've often thought about getting them just to, you know, complete,
oh,
you know,
of course,
my collection.
Yeah.
But so he was like, yeah, I'll let you know how much it costs, and it's like a week or so it goes by, and I say to him like dude, like, you know, I just want to let you know, just let me know how much it's gonna cost. And he was like, yeah, I sent it out to you, like, don't worry about it. And it, like, this is like a complete stranger that I just really met, you know, early on, you know, that's a fellow Superman fan. And I get this box and I open it up. And he sends me all of his Superman Adventures comics, all of them, which I already have. But like, he had like a Live Wire in there. And it's like, dude, like, you sent me another like that's a big freaking book. Like, yeah, that's like an expensive book. And he sent me that, the whole line of Superman Adventure, Superman Animated Series Burger King toys. He sent me all, he had saved everything that Burger King put out, like the little like toys, like mats and like the little stuff that they would like, you know, you would always get in the bag.
Like, yeah, like
a lot of times, like, you would have French fry grease on it, so you'd throw it out. He had them well preserved. I guess he like just got extra ones that he asked for, and he sent me all of the stuff in a box, and I was completely blown away by it. But you don't have stuff like that now for the cartoons.
No, you know, and that's awesome. And speaking of like those little paper, a lot of them they'd have like the line of what I remember. Like the first figures I bought, I'd always save the cardboard and cross off all the figures I had.
Totally, yeah.
Of course, I never had enough of the figures, and as far as that was concerned, my parents had money up the wazoo that they could just buy all 25 figures in the line.
Think about it.
Yeah, and I'm in Toys R Us. The whole cart is full of all 25 figures.
Yeah.
And you know, remember, excuse me, though, she's like, all right, you know, and then you start putting them back. Then you're like, all right, I gotta. Then you're making notes. I need this one.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and that's the thing. Like, we've become so technological.
You have the big playset that they would always have.
Oh yeah.
Be like I need to have the playset
or the carrying case.
And it would be like, you know, like on a special moment, you would get, like, your parents would get it for it, but. Yeah, I mean, like, what a time to be alive where, you'd get two figures, you'd get a good guy and a bad guy. Great, great times all around, really.
Yeah, Santa must have loved me. but now fast forwarding to today, like, technology's great, like, we're using it right now, obviously, but we've become so technological, and me and Steve have talked about this a lot, that the kids today... they don't get to enjoy this. Like, they don't get those hands-on action figures, you know, the comic books. You know, how many of them, like, the Batman Forever soundtrack, who went to Sam Goody? Come on. Or whatever your local music store was. You know, we got the soundtrack because we couldn't download them, so we had to get the whole CD.
It's funny that you say that. Like, I actually got the soundtrack from Sam Goody. Yeah. Sam Goody, where I got it. Yeah. I remember, like, I walked in, they had, like, their whole aisle. And they had the CD of it. And I, at the time, like, you know, like I was on cassettes for a while.
Oh,
but
God.
Batman Forever, they had the cassette, but I actually got the CD of it. And I think I have the vinyl.
Didn't you get the special edition vinyl?
Yeah. It's somewhere, it might be on like the bottom.
Okay,
unless I have it like up there, but I definitely have it. It's there.
But it's like, I mean, no, music, you know, I'm good with music on download because it sound like it's nothing tangible. But it's still, it's always, you'll kind of miss that joy of, like, looking through the booklet for the singing along to the with the lyrics. Or, like, they'll show you pictures, like, from the movie. So, but in terms of, like, the action figures, the cartoons, like, you know, like, again, we can sit here in our 30s and reminisce about that.
Completely.
Like, today's kid, like... yeah, they can reminisce about Superman. Mm-hmm. Oh, I found it on Amazon Prime. You know, I binge watched it. You know, it's still cool, but it's not the same as seeing the new episodes like every day after school.
Yeah.
Doing your homework.
And it's kind of like, you know, you, as a kid, you didn't really have like a concept of like, oh, there's 64, like there's 13 episodes in season one. You know, as a cartoon, like you understood seasons to an extent, but like for cartoons, the way they would air them and then rerun them, you would just be looking forward to a new episode. So you wouldn't really think like, oh, we're at episode 13 already of season one. Like, it would just be like, oh, like it's Spider-Man fighting Hobgoblin again, or it's like Batman fighting the Joker, or it's Superman fighting Metallo. And you would just kind of hope, you know, that you would get a new episode and maybe you'd be doing your homework and you'd look up and you'd see like, oh yeah, I already saw this episode already. Cause like, I remember as a kid, how many episodes that like you would see and you would re-see again and again, and a lot of times it would be fun. A lot of times it'd be like, oh man, I, you know, was really hoping for a new episode. But yeah, I've we're all fans of cartoons, and you know, I love the Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. But you know, even like the new Ninja Turtles cartoon that they have, it's
the new animation, just no, like.
I haven't really watched it, but like it's not even like really like a cartoon where you have like a full 20-minute episode. It's like a 1 minute. It's like a 2 minute. Every episode's like 2 minutes or so, and it airs very. It's like a very weird thing that they do now, and I feel like it might have something to do with like the kids' attention spans now. But yeah, like I mean, like you would watch like Batman on like Kids WB or Spider-Man on Fox Kids, and you would get a full proper, you know, half hour, you know, like breaking it down from like with commercial breaks, like a 22, 24 minute episode, and you would get a full story and an adventure. Whereas now it's kind of like something so fast, and you know, I can't really like get into it. I know they have DC Superhero Girls on TV, and they had an earlier version of it, and then they just recently rebooted it with the creator of, I believe, My Little Pony, or like one of like the lead animators. I just only started to pay attention to it. I really like the redesign of Supergirl that they have in it, and I know season one's available on Netflix. So at some point I do want to get to that, and I do want to review those for the Saturday Morning Superman show, because Supergirl is a part of it in animation, and I really, really love the way they redesigned her. But yeah, I mean, like, the cartoons really just aren't the same as they were when we were kids.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But actually, speaking of Supergirl, you know, as Steve briefly mentioned, one of our other adventures was Chicago, C2E2. Mm-hmm. We met Kyler Lee, who plays Agent Danvers. Yeah. And we met Supergirl herself, Melissa Benoist.
Yeah, we did. C2E2 was a lot of fun because that was like when we were... C2E2 is a very special trip for me because that was the second time that I had gone to Chicago. And it was like about 2 weeks before Batman vs. Superman came out in theaters. And that was the first time that Joe and I had gone together to Chicago. And we had a great time there. But what was special was we went because we were approved as press for What You're Reading to go there. And so we were able to cover it for What You're Reading. But that was also about a month into when we had started Universal Monsters Universe.
So that was like our first.
So it was our first unofficial con that we were doing. And I remember as we were there, we were looking for Universal Monsters stuff. And we spoke to two people that I don't even remember. You know, well,
yeah,
not really, we're not talking about them, but we're not giving them airtime. But like, yeah, we spoke to two people from Universal
who
are
like comic book entrepreneurs.
And we spoke to a different like Universal Monster kind of person that had a comic, and yeah, it was a fun trip, and yeah, we got to meet Melissa Benoist and Kyler Lee and you met Justin Candelaria. That I want to shout him out because I'm always telling him about this.
Chloe Bennett,
from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Bennett, yeah.
Wait, Daisy, whoever, Sky.
So Justin,
whatever season you're on.
Yeah, the co-host of the Saturday Morning Superman show. He hasn't mentioned it yet, but he really likes Chloe Bennett, and he's a big fan of her. And Joe got to meet her. Yeah.
I got to actually do the autograph and the photo op. Mm-hmm. And we did the dual photo op with Melissa and Kyler.
Yeah,
we actually missed her autograph because like her plane was late, mm-hmm. So she never got to the autograph booth. But we got to do the photo op.
Yeah, because I remember I think I was on her line for the autographs.
Yeah, I think we had appointments.
Then,
like
and then I was just kind of like, oh yeah, like I'm gonna get off the line. We did something else, but yeah, that I mean I have the pictures somewhere, but that's another thing. 2016. That was like 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago now. The time goes by so fast.
Oh yeah, no, it does, and also too, this does tie into DC a little bit. What was it, 2017 Comic Con NYC? Was that the one with Constantine? Justice League Dark.
I think so.
I actually got to sit in on a round table as UMU when they were doing Justice League Dark, and we got to talk to Matt Ryan, who plays Constantine. We had his own show on NBC. Now they brought him back on DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
And so you got to interview him.
Yeah, I got to interview him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
you got to interview Adam West.
Oh, that's right. We did the round table with Adam West. And it just breaks my heart now. Thinking
you
about that. I know. Yes.
I didn't even get to sit. I was taking pictures. Yeah, to sit down and talk to him, which is so cool.
That was very cool. But yeah, it was an active table. I mean, it's Adam West. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like a feeding frenzy in a way. It's him. Like, that's actually the second time I've met him. The first time I ever went to Comic-Con, I think it was like 2012, maybe. And I got him and Burt Ward's autographs.
Wow, okay.
As Batman and Robin.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that was definitely, a highlight. And again, just knowing, Adam West is no longer with us. It hurts. It's nice to tell the story, but it kind of hurts in a way.
It's a bittersweet thing, to know that in your lifetime you did get to meet someone that was so influential and such a part of the mythology that again that we love, but it's kind of sad to know that he's no longer with us, but yeah, I mean, like, you look at Adam West, and I mean, that's Batman, you know. Like,
yeah,
you cannot look at the history of Batman and not have Adam West a part of it, just as, like, you know, you look at, like, George Reeves or Christopher Reeve, and you know, like, they're always going to be, you know, Superman, you know, no matter who plays the part, you know, they're always going to be, you know, our earliest memories of, you know, these characters. I think also you have to acknowledge that for us, we're a part, I think, of that last generation where our Superman on film was Christopher Reeve, and Dean Cain was the Superman of the 90s, but, like, Christopher Reeve was the first theatrical Superman for us, just in the same way that you had Adam West and you had, like, Michael Keaton, you know, those movies.
I mean, yeah, for us, like, Christopher Reeve, Michael Keaton, like, as far as we're concerned, they were Batman and Superman. Like, we didn't know anyone else.
Yeah.
We didn't know Adam West. We didn't know George Reeves. That was, like, our parents and grandparents. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're that age, like, they might as well be back in the 1800s. Like, you know, that it's so far backwards. It's like, oh, that's all so old. Especially when you hear they were in black and white, it's like, what? Like, so, like, to us, it's like, oh, that's, you know, they're just old. Like, they're just old people. Like, we were, you know, as kids, Christopher Reeve and Michael Keaton. And if you want to go TV, and if you want to go through the cartoon, to us, you know, Kevin Conroy,
yeah,
is Batman, and Tim Daly is, you know, those are the four people that we knew as Batman and Superman.
Yeah, I think, like, if you'd be looking at, like, a comic book, or you'd be playing with a figure, I mean, the voice that you would have in your head would be absolutely, you know, I don't think you could really read a comic book, a Batman comic book, and not hear Kevin Conroy. And the same has to be said for Superman, that it's just, you know, you spend so much time with that voice that's, you know, that's how Batman sounds, that's how Superman sounds.
Or, like, right now, looking at your statue, if that talked, that would be Christopher Reeve's voice.
Yeah.
I mean, not only does it look Reeves, like him, but, like, it's just...
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, say we had, like, a statue of Batman versus the Penguin. To me, if they came to life, it would be Michael Keaton versus Danny DeVito.
Yeah, completely.
There's nothing around, like, that's... What was it? NECA, right? Had the Danny DeVito
Batman statue. Yeah. Yeah, and the, like, that quarter scale, yeah.
Yeah, like, so, like, you know, in that era... When you played with your Batman and Superman figures, it was Christopher Reeve and Michael Keaton. There was nobody else. Or again, if you were reading the comic, you know, in the Bruce Timm comics, it was Tim Daly and Kevin Conroy.
So I want to say that, like, you know, like with everything that they're doing now with, like, animation and the movies and the TV shows, with, like, Superman, as far as Superman's concerned, going forward, like, what would you like to see done with the character? Would you like to, you know, see another Henry Cavill movie, or considering with Robert Pattinson playing Batman, would you like to see them move in another direction, or would you prefer to see Tyler Hoechlin get his own series? For the future outlook of Superman on screen, you know, television, theaters, what are your thoughts, and what would you like to potentially see over the next, you know, 10 years or so with the character?
And as far as the movies, I would like to see at least, like, one more Henry Cavill movie. Like, even if it's just, like, Superman, like, a sequel to Man of Steel, like, apart from Justice League, BVS. You know, like to give Henry Cavill one more, like, one-off Superman where it's just him. Because, you know, he was great by himself. It's nothing against, you know, like, Ben Affleck or... I mean, Gal Gadot and anything, like, they were all great, but I feel like they moved too quickly putting him in a group. I felt they could have given him one more one-off movie, like, to sort of complete, like, you know, Lex Luthor, or, like, you know, I think what they could have done was put Henry Cavill and Jesse Eisenberg as a one-off movie, set the stage for,
like, a bad
BVS day. Yeah. Because with this one, like, Lex Luthor, because, I don't know about you, like, to me, Lex Luthor was always bald and maniacal. Like, I never, like, to me, Jesse Eisenberg was the first time I saw him other than that.
Mm-hmm.
like very like quirky and
yeah, because he had like
Gene, you know, Hackman, like
Hackman, Kevin Spacey,
even the cartoon
Clancy Brown,
yeah,
and he's very
stoic and yeah,
it's a very different personification, if you will, of the character. Yeah,
but in terms of like TV show, I'd like to see Tyler Hoechlin. He was cool. You know, he's coming back for Crisis, along with Brandon Routh, who is actually the Atom on Legends of Tomorrow, but he's actually reprising a version of Superman as well.
And he's playing the older version of the Superman Returns one, which they had confirmed.
Oh, yeah. Really cool. Yeah, so that's great. I mean, that's a great little nod to the a kind of overlooked Superman movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Completely, yeah. I think that's going to be very rewarding for people to see that happen.
So, I mean, like, which, you know, the first I saw Superman Returns in theater, and I enjoyed it. But I guess, you know, when you've lived off Christopher Reeve for so long, mm-hmm. again, like to us, he was Superman. Nobody is Superman other than Christopher Reeve. But then a few years ago, I bought, you know, I'm sure you have it, the tin set.
Yeah, you this, would let yeah. me borrow that time.
Yeah, yeah. The behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. Yeah, and I watched Superman Returns again. And I'm like, and I found a little more appreciation for it.
No, as it's, I know Bryan Singer's original intention was that Superman Returns would serve as like the Superman 3, and they would throw out the original Superman 3 and 4, and that this would almost be like the film successor and the spiritual successor to the Reeve Superman movie. So you'd watch Superman 1, Superman 2, and then Superman Returns, and in a lot of ways, Brandon Routh is supposed to be, you know, the Christopher Reeve Superman, more so than just being a Brandon Routh Superman. So I think, you know, when you really start to accept that, it works a little more.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, like, yeah, I'm sure, maybe, I don't know, maybe because you're the big Superman fan. So did you feel at first that, like, when you saw it, that it wasn't the same? Like,
well, for me, you know, it's interesting because, you know, as I've made mention on the podcast, you know, and really, you know, for you and me and our friendship, you know, I do, as a kid, I wasn't a Superman fan like I am now when I was a kid, and I liked Superman, and I watched, you know, the Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. I had seen the Reeve and Richard Donner movies. You know, I watched Smallville and I liked Superman, but he wasn't, you know, like the character that he is to me now. And I remember when the first teaser trailer debuted for Superman Returns, it was during the season finale of Smallville. I forgot if it was like the fifth or sixth season. It was like, well, like it was a mid-season. And they debuted the teaser trailer during one of the episodes, and I remember the trailer happened, and that whole previous summer, like me and, you know, one of my friends, we were talking about, like, you know, we're finally getting a Superman movie, and it was a big deal because in our lifetime, like, this was the first Superman movie that we would be seeing in theaters, and the first modern Superman movie, if you will, that you'd be seeing. And it was very exciting to have that. And when we eventually saw it, I liked it. I liked the cinematography of the movie. I liked the score, and I liked the look of the movie. But to have a movie like Batman Begins that had come out in 2005, just the year prior, and then to have Superman Returns in 2006, it was different. Tonally, it was very different. And I'd say that, like, on repeat viewings, I've gone to appreciate Superman Returns even more. There are a few elements of the movie that I don't really like. But overall, I do like Superman Returns very much. And I think there are several additions to the Superman mythology that movie adds that I really like, namely... Superman makes reference to the fact that he doesn't lie. He can't lie. So I like that Superman will never lie, and he's always honest. I also like that you find out that Superman is very warm to physically touch. And there's a scene when, like, Superman and Lois Lane, they're on the Daily Planet rooftop, and they're flying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she says something like, "I forgot how warm you are." And I thought that's kind of cool because, like, if you think of Superman and his physiology, he's like a battery where he's taking in all of his power from the sun, and he gets all of his power from the like the sun's radiation. And so if you then think about Superman himself, he's kind of like an overheated battery in a sense. So when you think about how it would feel to be next to him or to touch him, he would run very warm. And I like that dynamic where Superman's not only warm, you know, in how good he is, and he has a very a warming presence, but I like how, like, no, he literally is very warm to be next to. And it's just something that you don't ever think about, and you wouldn't really have any reason to think about. But when they add stuff like that, it makes the character more real, because there's something more to it that, like, oh, wow, like I get this. And stuff like that about Superman Returns that I liked, but Man of Steel, I think, you know, everybody knows that's, you know, my favorite version of Superman ever. And, yeah, I love Henry Cavill. I'd love to see them do another one.
Oh, you know, Henry Cavill, like, he has a Superman look to him, like, reminiscent of, like, Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely, like, he, you know, he's big enough, you know, like, physically, but also just, like, it's just like a...
he's a big dude. Yeah. He's, you know, I mean, like, you have Superman.
But there's, like, a personality to him. Because, like, to me, like, Brandon Routh, especially that I see him on, like, Legends of Tomorrow, and I think he was on Arrow. Like, he's, you know, he's sort of like a goofball in a way.
Yeah.
Like, whereas, like, so that's why, like, to me, like, he didn't look like a Superman to me. Like, Henry Cavill, Christopher Reeve, they had, like, this poise to them. Mm-hmm. Like, they had, well, again, they would stand up straighter. Like, they would,
yeah.
They had something to them that said Superman. Like, nothing against Brandon Routh, is cool and all, but it's just something about Cavill and Reeve.
It's like they took on, like, the role and the responsibility of it, and they carry themselves as Superman. You know, I think Reeve, up until his death, you know, right to his death, you know, and even in his legacy, I mean, like he lived, you know, as Superman, and just like a really truly decent human being. And you know, I feel the same way with Henry Cavill, where you just get somebody that's just very humble, but just very decent. And it's cool to see somebody like that, like, you know, the responsibility of playing Superman, and you have to embody those qualities. I think Melissa Benoist does that very well, too, from everything that I've seen of her, and I like her very much.
Oh, yeah, and also, too, like, well, I mean, like, she's the only, like, super person I've met in real life. I know you've met pretty much all of them.
Yeah, the only two that I haven't met as of now is Tyler from Supergirl and Tom Welling from Smallville, so... So that those are people that I definitely, in my list of meeting all the Supermen, I have to do that.
I guess I definitely like meeting Melissa Benoist in person. We sat in on their panel, and you could see she just has like this like cute, bubbly like personality that she has as Kara, and it's great, and you know she's adorable. Like that's all.
Yeah.
And especially now with, you know, and we're getting a lot more like female superheroes, like, you know, diverse, you know, gender, or like we're really breaking the molds now of superheroes, and to have, and she's one of the best people you can have to play to break those gender molds. Like, she's perfect to Supergirl.
I like Melissa Benoist to Supergirl, and you know, I think it's a shame that, like, when you think of that character, you only have had two people. You've had Helen Slater play her in the movie, and then you have Melissa Benoist on TV. And then you had Laura Vandervoort and I can't remember the other actress that played Kara on Smallville, but she wasn't really like Supergirl. And, you know, you think of like all the people that have played Superman, and I really hope that in like the next 10 to 20 years, we get a Supergirl movie, you know, on the big screen, because she's long overdue. And I'm hoping that maybe with like Birds of Prey and Wonder Woman 1984, you know, and with the way the 2020 movies roll out with like Black Widow and stuff, that Warner Brothers will prioritize, you know, a Supergirl solo movie. And it's going to be interesting seeing somebody other than Melissa Player. But, you know, I welcome anyone to play the character. And I, you know, considering how I am, like, the second whoever they announce as that as the actor to play Supergirl, I'm all for. You know, there's nothing but support coming from me with whoever they choose.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's going to be fun. Especially now, last week, Batwoman with Ruby Rose just came out. So again, that's another leading lady that we have in the comic book world. I mean, there's a lot, you know, so much more diversity coming out. And it's great to see, and it's long overdue for any era.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been so many, like, you know, so many iterations of Batman. So many iterations of Superman, Lex Luthor, you know, Gordon, Joker. The only real, like, females that we've had in terms of comics, you know, transcending from, you know, the early days of Superman and Batman, really Lois Lane, Catwoman, you know, Batgirl. And even then, they're more like, you know, not like sidekicks. I don't want to say sidekicks, but, like, you know, they weren't really in the forefront until maybe recently with the Man of Steel BVS movies, where you see Amy Adams playing such a big role as Lois. I mean, she was the secret weapon. Mm-hmm. You know, they needed her to save him. That's how big of a part she played, and it's great to see that. Like, even like Batgirl, like, I loved Alicia Silverstone. She was one of my 90s crushes. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, she was, they just made her fight Poison Ivy. It was a girl fight, and then, like, That was pretty much it. Like, you know, she was there because she was in Clueless. She was a blonde. You know, that was.
It's so interesting to think of how the characters are presented on screen, and you know, you look at like what they're everything that's doing that they're doing now, and I think it's really cool. Because I saw Joker the other day. They showed the Rise of Skywalker trailer before. Before the film came on, and I thought, like, you know, how cool is it that, like, Rey is the star, you know, and lead of, like, these three movies, you know, and it's kind of like, yeah, you had, like, six movies already where you didn't really have that, and now to finally have a series where, you know, you have, you know, someone like Rey leading it, or, you know, you have, like, Ruby Rose as Batwoman, or Gal, you know, Gadot as Wonder Woman, you know, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. You know, it feels really cool and satisfying to see something new like that, that's long overdue. And, you know, I just, like, I mean, I'm excited by all of it. I think it's definitely something that we need more of. And if this means that we're going to finally get all that much closer to, like, Supergirl on the big screen, you know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's well overdue for it. I mean, like, we definitely need, I think, a Supergirl movie much more than we need, like, a Batgirl movie. I would love to see a Batgirl solo movie, but I feel like Supergirl definitely is owed her time back on the big screen. She only had one movie ever, you know, and that's actually now on Netflix, by the way. But, oh, wow. But I really, you know, she's long overdue for the character. So hopefully, you know, during the time of the Saturday morning Superman show, we'll get to do like a one-off episode where we get to say, hey, they finally cast Supergirl and we're finally getting a movie and we could come back to this conversation. But yeah, Joe, I want to say, you're co-founder with Universal Monsters Universe, of course. Everything that's going on there. Is there anything that you want to talk about that you'd like to just make mention of, or where can we find you on social media? All of that.
Oh yeah, you can find me on social media. Yeah, I'm on my Instagram is probably easiest. It's JoeRed14, and my Twitter is at Joe Gordensky. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Oh, by the way, the Max Fleischer cartoons. Didn't Superman fight a mummy?
He did. Yeah, we haven't done that. Justin and I haven't done that episode yet. We're a few episodes away from it, but we watched it, and he did fight a mummy. Yep.
See, the monsters always come back for you.
Yeah, he definitely fought a mummy if you'd won, it'd be really cool to actually do the commentary with you for that episode.
We could do a dual episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
New Superman crossover. Yeah. We have a crossover.
Yeah. So I think you're hearing it here first, but so we're going to do our first Saturday morning Superman show, Universal Monsters Universe crossover. And we'll have Joe Gradensky back representing Universal Monsters Universe, which you could find on universalmonstersuniverse.com.
Instagram, yeah. Twitter, you know, we're there.
and I'll be representing Saturday morning Superman show. And yeah, I think that's we're a few episodes away from that. I think like maybe three or four. We haven't recorded it yet. And I think that might be like the second, like third to last or second to last episode that they had done. But yeah, I would love nothing more than to record the commentary for that episode than with you.
That would be great. I'd love it, man.
Cool. Everyone, thanks again for listening to this special episode of the Saturday Morning Superman Show. You could find, again, Joe on Instagram and on Twitter, and you could find his work on UniversalMonstersUniverse.com. If you want to follow him, just check out the show notes, and we'll have all of his stuff in there. You could find me also on Twitter at RegieMantleIII. That's Reggie Mantle with an uppercase III. You could find me on Instagram at Sherbert Downey Jr. And you could find the Saturday Morning Superman Show on Instagram and Twitter. Again, all of these are in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening. I know this was a little bit of a longer episode than we normally do, but to have my creative partner and the co-founder of Universal Monsters Universe on the show, it's something that we really were talking about doing for a little while, so I'm glad we got to do it. And I personally can't wait to listen to this episode myself. I had so much fun recording it, and I hope you had a fun time too.
Oh, it was great, man. In fact, you know, again, this is prior show, but actually October 14th is my birthday, so this is actually kind of a pretty cool way to spend my birthday weekend.
Yeah, so everybody, by the time you listen to this episode, it will be past Joe's birthday, but send Joe all the biggest Superman warmth that you could find when you listen to this episode. He's a great dude, and he's a great friend, and thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you, Steven. Yeah, I'm now those 30-year-olds that we thought were so old as kids. I am one of them. I am almost smack dab in the middle of it. So yeah, I get it now. I completely get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been great though. I mean, you great audience, guys. I mean, Steve, you're great, man. It's awesome. Yeah, it's an honor to be on here. I can't wait to do this again.
Yeah, I mean, this was so much fun. I've been having a blast doing the Saturday Morning Superman show. It's been a fun, as serious as I take it, it's also just been a great, you know, little side thing that I've been doing, you know, and I love talking about Superman. I'm so grateful that all of you are listening and liking and subscribing. It means the world. But yeah, again, thanks, Joe, so much for listening, and be peaceful, everyone.
The Saturday Morning Superman Show is brought to you in part by Royal Collectibles, your friendly neighborhood comic book shop located in Forest Hills, Queens, New York, offering some of the best in pop culture needs and collectibles.